When John L. Weinberg's memorial service was held in 2006, attendees mourned more than just Goldman Sachs' former leader. They grieved for the principles he embodied. His son captured the essence perfectly. He saw right and wrong clearly, with no shades of gray. This moral clarity once defined Goldman Sachs, transforming it from a modest partnership into Wall Street's most prestigious investment bank. Yet by 2012, Rolling Stone would describe the firm as a great vampire squid wrapped around the face of humanity. How did an institution once revered for integrity become a symbol of Wall Street excess? The answer lies not in a single catastrophic event, but in organizational drift, a series of seemingly reasonable compromises that, over decades, fundamentally altered Goldman's DNA. Like the proverbial frog in slowly heating water, the firm's culture transformed so gradually that insiders barely noticed the change until the metamorphosis was complete. Goldman wasn't always controversial. After nearly failing in the 1929 crash, the firm rebuilt through exceptional client service and integrity. In 1979, co-senior partner John Whitehead formalized Goldman's values by documenting the principles that had guided their success for decades. These principles weren't mere decorations. Every employee received a copy, with quarterly meetings to discuss their application. The philosophy followed Gus Levy's maxim of being greedy but long-term greedy, prioritizing sound long-term decisions over immediate gains. The partnership structure created accountability through unlimited personal liability. When your house was at risk from a colleague's mistake, you monitored everyone closely. Partnership candidates were evaluated for character and commitment to principles, not just revenue. Goldman's foremost principle, putting clients first, meant providing honest advice regardless of fee implications. As an analyst, I witnessed our team advise against selling a client's division despite potential fees. Years later, when the division's profits doubled, Goldman was hired to sell the entire company. Sidney Weinberg defined integrity as honesty combined with prioritizing clients' interests. This approach fostered remarkable loyalty, with voluntary turnover under 5% versus the industry's 20%. The 1999 decision to go public, after resisting longer than any other major investment bank, accelerated existing changes while introducing new challenges. Adding a commitment to superior shareholder returns fundamentally shifted priorities. The IPO's aftermath transformed Goldman's culture both subtly and profoundly. Despite attempts to preserve partnership culture through special compensation plans, financial interdependence quickly eroded. By 2011, partners owned only 10% of the firm, compared to 50% at IPO, with current and former partners selling over $20 billion in Goldman stock since going public. When private, partners' finances were deeply interconnected, giving any partner authority to question traders because their own capital was at risk. Post-IPO, this financial interdependence vanished, reducing motivation for managing directors to question activities outside their expertise. The firm became increasingly siloed, with partners no longer recognizing each other. The IPO also exposed partners' wealth publicly, creating significant internal resentment. Average partners received around $63 million, while those narrowly missing partnership received drastically less, breeding envy and self-interest throughout the organization. Goldman's growth strategy triggered a major shift in its business mix toward capital-intensive trading and proprietary investments. From an equal balance with investment banking in 1996, each at 40% of revenues, trading and principal investing surged to 70% of revenues by 2007, while investment banking shrank to just 15%. This transformation represented a profound cultural revolution. Trading's distinctive values began dominating the firm's ethos. Former executive Rob Kaplan observed, "As trading came to be a bigger part of Wall Street, leaders started to change incentives away from the value-added vision and tilt more to making money first." Trading also transformed client dynamics. Blankfein noted they used counterparties at J. Aron because we didn't know how to spell the word adversary. This shift blurred Goldman's role as advisor versus market maker. The expansion of proprietary trading, Goldman trading for its own account, created tensions with the firm's principals. By 2011, analyst Glenn Shore estimated the Volcker Rule would impact 48% of Goldman's revenue, significantly higher than competitors. Goldman's interpretation of clients' interests first gradually shifted from applying a higher ethical standard to merely meeting legal requirements. The firm came to believe that proper risk disclosure and regulatory compliance alone constituted ethical adherence to its primary business principle. This shift became evident during the 2008 financial crisis when Goldman rapidly de-risked its mortgage exposure without warning clients, highlighting the tension between shareholder obligations and client interests. While Goldman sold risky securities to clients, it simultaneously bet against them. Goldman executives maintained they fulfilled their legal suitability standard when acting as brokers rather than advisors, arguing sophisticated institutional clients knowingly accepted risks. This stance contrasts with historical examples like John Weinberg making good on BP losses despite having no legal obligation. Modern banking's complexity creates ambiguity about information sharing. Clients appreciate Goldman's information sharing when beneficial, but question it when disadvantageous. This tension blurs ethical lines as Goldman characterizes relationships differently depending on circumstances, sometimes as market maker, sometimes as principal investor. Goldman employees are socialized to believe their work serves a higher social purpose, justifying behaviors others view as ethically questionable. Many describe their corporate culture using religious terminology, the business principles as Ten Commandments, partnership election as ascension to heaven, and excellence as a moral imperative. CEO Lloyd Blankfein's infamous God's work comment, though later retracted, reveals the religious-like mindset permeating Goldman's culture. This framing helps justify inequality and enormous compensation as necessary for greater prosperity for all. Such zealotry blinds Goldman to outside perspectives, explaining its inability to comprehend public outrage during the financial crisis. Goldman's extensive government connections reinforce its sense of purpose while creating a web of influence that earned it the nickname Government Sachs. The firm strategically hires former officials while sending its own people to serve in administrations of both parties. Internally, these connections represent civic duty. Externally, they're seen as either valuable networking or unfair advantage seeking. Goldman's story reveals how organizations drift from their founding principles. Like a ship gradually veering off course, this drift represents the slow uncoupling of practice from principles. Failure emerges not from flawed components, but from the breakdown of relationships meant to ensure success. Organizations normalize deviant behavior through incremental changes that establish a new normal over time. At Goldman, this social normalization occurred so subtly that the cultural shift seemed natural to insiders. The challenge lies in distinguishing healthy adaptation from harmful drift, especially when business metrics suggest success. Effective leadership requires curiosity that borders on skepticism, backed by decisive action. Though organizational analysis is complex, sociological frameworks help identify issues before they become crises. Goldman's transformation wasn't inevitable. It resulted from numerous small decisions prioritizing growth and profit over founding principles. We must remain vigilant for subtle compromises that can transform even the most principled institutions into something their founders would scarcely recognize.